May only the truth be spoken and only the truth be heard. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, Sanctifier. Amen. I have an almost neurotic aversion to mustard. I can't even stand to have it near me. The smell, the texture, everything about it makes me shudder with disdain. So, when I had to teach a Sunday school lesson on the mustard seed in seminary, I knew I couldn't tell the kids that this tiny seed produced the yummy mustard that we put on our hot dogs. Kids can smell a phony because, as we all know, innocence is the best lie detector. So, trolling through the commentaries, I told those kids a nuanced version of what I still believe to be true, and that is that tiny seeds can grow beyond what we can imagine. I told them that because I can remember as a child feeling small or powerless. I couldn't wait until I grew up, looking to the time when everything would be different. Everything would be better because I would be big and powerful. And since I would be in control, the world wouldn't seem so out of control the way it sometimes does. And just like that mustard seed, God would do great things with me. I have to say, these past 2 weeks have made me feel small again, out of control. The tragedy of those 215 Indigenous children lying in unmarked graves, and 3 generations of the Avzal family murdered in an instant while they were out for a walk. These events have grown like a mustard seed, filling my head with sorrow, of course, but even more so with questions. How can this still be happening? How do we stop the intolerance, the indifference, the hate? And so I came to these readings today looking for comfort, maybe even assurance, knowing that it would be there, but not quite sure how to find it. And so, of course, in my quest for meaning, in my search for assurance, I came to Mark's gospel, and Jesus confronted me with a parable. And not just any parable, the terse, the enigmatic, the parable of the mustard seed. And as with my Sunday school experience, it was so tempting to stick to the surface and call easy answers, to keep this parable small and safe, and say, just plant the seed, close your eyes tight, and say a prayer. And if you have faith, God will transform it into something wonderful. But as Fred Craddock once said, these stories are not for children. They are meant to shake us and awaken us to the reality of God's kingdom, trying to break into our lives and transform our world, to make us see things in a way that changes everything. So, if this parable is not so simple, what are we supposed to see that is supposed to change our lives? Well, first, mustard seeds don't grow into mighty trees. At least not the stuff of treetop legend like Douglas firs or baobabs for you Little Prince fans. No. Mustard trees are no more than a couple of meters in height. But what makes them the greatest of all shrubs, as Jesus says, is how prolific they are. They spread so quickly that you can't get rid of them. So by using the mustard seed as an image for God's kingdom, Jesus was not only challenging the view of God's kingdom as a mighty political entity, he was also confronting the view of God's kingdom as something that we think we can carefully control, like a well-manicured garden, cultivating it whenever we want, placing things wherever we desire, and sharing it with whomever we choose. As with mustard, spreading like wild weeds in a field, God's kingdom is not something you can control. For if you dare to allow Jesus' vision of God's kingdom, even a tiny bit of it, into your life, be prepared for it to spread and to spring up in places you least expect it and places you might not want it. Because if you allow that seed into your life, love will flourish. Even where beliefs may have taught you to hate, and the desire to forgive will infect even your most deeply held resentments. And concern for others will choke even your most self-centered desires. And as it was with Jesus, sacrifice may actually become more important than self-preservation. So beware. The plant that springs up from this tiny seed is meant to spread and take over everything. In other words, the kingdom of God is more than we imagine because it demands the most of us. And lest you think that you're not up to it, that you're too small or too weak, the reading from 1 Samuel has something to say about that. In fact, this parable is always paired with the anointing of David. Why? Well, again, superficially, the parallel seems clear. The interpretation seems easy, doesn't it? Here's David, the smallest of Jesse's seed, who grew into the greatest king of Israel. Except the easy interpretation dies there, because David ends up breaking all of God's laws and committing infamous atrocities. And what's more, David's grandmother, Ruth, was a Moabite, an unclean, unacceptable foreigner in Israel's eyes. And yet God uses this flawed, infamous king with questionable ancestry to found the line of the Messiah. Imagine that. The point, again and again in Scripture, God calls the people we least expect, uses the things which most challenge our expectations to tell us, my kingdom is not your kingdom. It is beyond your imagining. It is out of your control. And it will always demand something of you. As Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. But the real question on the mind of Mark's listeners The question that has been preoccupying me lately, especially in the light of these tragedies, is not so much what is the kingdom, it's when is the kingdom. When will this kingdom come? When will we stop destroying the innocent and burying our shame? When will it be safe for people to walk the street without being afraid of being killed because someone needs a target for their hate? The answer, of course, is a parable. For the answer is right now and not yet. And that's because the answer is not a when. It is a person. And Jesus is God's parable to the world. A story, a life, a sacrifice, a God that continually challenges our expectations and leads us into a deeper relationship with God and with one another, by revealing the truth about us in a way that doesn't break us, but inspires us to change. And what that means is that we are not responsible for giving the growth to the kingdom of God, but we are responsible for taming the growth of evil and intolerance in our midst, always. For we are responsible for proclaiming again and again the Redeemer, whose life was a living sacrament of the power of sacrifice over self-interest, of acceptance over intolerance, of love over hate. Amen.